The Athletic.
Totally Football League Show. This week, Bruce's Baggies beaten by Blades, Derby ramp up the pressure on Reading, Forest and Cooperman continue to soar up the table. In League One, the Black Cats' bad luck continues, and still we wait for a manager announcement with one turning it down. And in League Two, the relegation battle is back on. In association with Paddy Power, this is the Totally Football League Show. Hello and welcome along to this latest ride through the EFL. I'm Faker Ruthers, here to guide you through all the midweek action. Joining us is former Southend star Adrian Clark. How are you doing, Adrian?
Hello, Faye. I'm all right. I played five-a-side for the first time in about 6 years last night. So every part of me is in bits. But
have you still
I will
got it?
Soldier on. Sorry?
Have you still got it?
Oh, not really. I scored a few. goals, a couple of nutmegs. I was happy with that. Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah.
Must be happy with Southend's form as well at the minute. 8 games unbeaten. Pretty impressive.
Definitely. Yeah, it might be a couple of years before they're back in the EFL though, sadly. But yeah, they're heading the right way.
Yeah, certainly are. Fresh from a trip to the seaside as well to see Bournemouth in action. It's Sam Parkin. Any shrimp in the Cherries press box, Sam?
No, I had a packed lunch. A wrap. It's very nice. It was very, it was like going to, like going to the Science Museum or something when you were 12. I had a banana and then I had like a little cereal bar on the way out of the ground. So, it was literally like, the days I used to play five-a-side.
There's different levels of packed lunch, aren't there? You know, did it have a trio? Did it have a Viscount in there? Those are the kind of questions we want to know. Or a club.
No beverage, no Five Alive, no Umbongo. That's where they're falling down.
Unbelievable. What was the other one? The Sunny Delight. Let's give
Capri Sun.
Capri Sun, that's it. Amazing. Okay. There was a whole host of Football League action this week, so let's kick off in the Championship.
We all enjoy the sport we call the beautiful game.
But since I've retired, I've discovered an ugly, even darker side to the sport we love.
Join me as Jamie Redknapp investigates.
Thanks, Jamie. We'll take it from here. Join Jamie Redknapp for Jamie Investigates, the football mockumentary series. Watch on Paddy Power's Twitter. This week, Jamie investigates people who still call the Premier League the Premiership.
Do you know the truth?
Paddy Power.
18+, begambleaware.org.
Because you're a listener of the Totally Football League Show, you can get a third off an Athletic subscription right now. All you need to do is head to theathletic.com/league show. That's theathletic.com/league show.
Right, results and ramifications. That's what we should call this section, really. And before we get into any of it, a question which might have a little bit of recency bias, but is this the best playoff race we've seen in a while? I mean, 1 point separates 10th to 6th. It's crazy. And of course, Luton up there as well, just shoehorning that in early doors, by the way, Adrian.
Wow, they have to consider themselves in the race, I think.
We do.
I think the top 14, I think Millwall are too far. But from anyone with 41 points, at least, has to consider themselves in with a shout, don't they? I think Bournemouth are up 55. So it's 14 points separating second all the way down to the lower mid-table. So, yeah, it could turn out to be one of the best ever. I have to say, and I don't want to pour too much cold water on it, I think it's down to the fact that the Championship is really weak this year. It's full of...
I hate it when people say that.
It is, though. It is. Look at Fulham. Look how they're smashing everyone. That's a sign of how bad a lot of the teams are. I just don't think it's strong this year. We've got one front runner that's head and shoulders and the rest, there's not that much between them. But it's brilliant for entertainment, for the neutrals, for the excitement between now and the end of the season.
We did a feature a few weeks ago, Faye, where you had to pluck a team that's going to be in the Premier League in 2025, I think it was, and I went for Luton.
Well done.
So I've sold them ridiculously short, haven't I, if they make it in 6 months' time.
Three years short.
The discussion. But no, I do agree with Clarkey there. He's raised a good point. But I think because we've got so many surprise packages, that's what's making it so exciting. Who would have thought that Huddersfield would be where they are? Blackburn as well. And of course, you know, Luton Town. And then you've got some clubs that are in disarray that have got their acts together with some brilliant managerial changes, i.e. Middlesbrough and Nottingham Forest, who the form teams really in the division, and Sheffield United. We can't discount them, who are coming up very strong.
No, and we're going to start off with them, actually, because they were 2-0 winners over West Bromwich Albion last night, Adrian. Steve Bruce is in, but the new manager bounce didn't quite greet the Boing Boing Baggies, did it, as they lost to Sheffield United, thanks to a Billy Sharp double. He's looking very good, as always.
Oh, yeah, Billy Sharp's on fire, isn't he, at the moment, as are the team.
Will Quigg's on fire. No, sorry.
Yeah. I think they've got 25 points from 10 matches, Sheffield United. If they keep this up, and if everyone else keeps dropping points, Sheffield United could go up into the automatics by the end of the season. It's 7 clean sheets from 11 as well. So both ends of the pitch, they're absolutely flying. And from Steve Bruce's point of view, he was hamstrung, wasn't he, by Livermore's red card, which was, it was a poor challenge, really ill-judged, reckless for a player of his experience. And so it's a get out of jail card, I think, for Steve Bruce and the players to some degree, because yeah, no one would have expected them to win with 10 men. What interested me was the tactics, 4-2-3-1. So he moved away from the back three, which I think he kind of had to do. When you're a new manager, when the new guy has been so unpopular, I think it's almost compulsory that you try something different in that first game. Imagine if he'd have just gone with the same system. I don't think the fans would have liked that. So, and they didn't look good. I think the centre-halves were poor. Clark and Ajayi, not great in the game. The whole back four looked a bit edgy. And I think that's quite normal when you've trained for, you know, the last, I don't know, 9 months or so with a back three. So it's going to take a little bit of time for them to get used to each other. But yeah, the hard work starts here for Steve Bruce and for West Bromwich Albion.
Yeah, it certainly does. Steve Madeley's done a breakdown of the game over on The Athletic. It begins, new manager, new tactics, same result. You can head to theathletic.com/league show for a third offer subscription if you're not already with us. And then you can look at all those kind of tactical breakdowns, always really fascinating. You mentioned the red card as well, Clarkey. 6th one for West Brom, which is worse than Arsenal, unbelievably. West Brom, of course, faced Blackburn on Monday night. That's a massive match, isn't it? Both sides needing to turn their form around. We'll bring you more on Blackburn Rovers very shortly, but let's move on to Sam's game. He was at the Vitality last night, Bournemouth 3, Birmingham 1. It means Bournemouth back into second place with that win and other results as well. Talk us through the story of the match, Sam, because from the highlights, it looked pretty entertaining.
It was a really good game. I think that the first highlight was getting the team sheet and, you know, seeing which new players were going to be starting, etc. Just went for two. Cantwell played really well in a kind of attacking midfield role where I remember him being like a wide forward at Norwich when he was getting linked to some top clubs. So he's playing more as a bit of a passer, someone that they can play through, which I thought was quite interesting. But I was really enthused with Scott Parker's lineup because he got it wrong badly against Boreham Wood, went with a really safe midfield. And this lineup, I felt, just had three kind of defensively minded players in it, in the two centre halves and Jefferson Lerma. Other than that, two flying fullbacks, two number eights, a front three, very unlike Scott Parker, I thought, and it made for a really entertaining game. I think partly down to some renewed hope at Birmingham, mainly because of Lyle Taylor. Hogan's in the goals, and they played a very attacking lineup. Two wing backs that are forwards. Birmingham. I've seen Lee Bowyer do it before, and I don't understand why he keeps doing that, because he changes at half time every time when they're two or three goals behind. So they had a field day in the wide positions, Bournemouth. Christie was great first half. Anthony was great. Reunited with Zamora. Those two were thrilling early part of the season, and to have them reunited is another plus for Bournemouth. But obviously 2-0, canter into victory, and then Jefferson Lerma does something very Jefferson Lerma-esque gets himself sent off, and then it becomes a really tense finish to the game, which it should never have been, because Bournemouth were great opening 45, and that incident meant that Birmingham had a few chances, and it was quite a tense finish, but the right team won. And yeah, I think having had, you know, a lot of time to kind of stew over it on the way down, I think Scott Parker got his team spot on, but he's probably not going to be that offensive in every fixture. So it's nice to have the luxury.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and it wasn't even the new players on the score sheet either. Three of their older players on there, and Anthony as well. Such a fantastic talent. It puts them back in the automatic places. Birmingham maybe will take hope a little bit from it, Clarkey as well, I'm sure. They're still 18th, clear of danger. It's just going to be, you know, a kind of nothingy season, perhaps, on this kind of form for them.
On the pitch, maybe, not off it. I think it's a pretty light.
Oh, God. Well, we could do an entire pod on that, couldn't we?
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what? I know that they were well beaten here, but I like the look of the team at the moment. I think Janino Bakuna has brought a bit more quality on the ball, a bit more creativity. He's really sharp. And I like the two front players. It's not just about Jukovic and set pieces and things like that at the moment. They've got Taylor and Hogan up front, both mobile centre forwards that can do a little bit of everything, really good movement. So I do think that Bournemouth fans should be treated to some better football between now and the end of the season. But yeah, ultimately, yeah, it's just pedal away in mid-table and try and build something for next season.
Yeah, two teams not pedalling away in mid-table are Blackburn and Nottingham Forest. But Blackburn lost by 2-0 at Ewood Park. So they dropped to third in the table. I'm really gutted that Matt's not here, actually, because Forest making all the headlines. Their season's kind of gone from bottom of the table to almost top. They're into the playoffs for the first time this season. What did they do well here, Adrian?
Well, they're very solid at the back. I think that the defenders have been great. Cook and McKenna have struck up a really strong partnership. I think that Brees Samba is back to the Brees Samba of old. One unsavoury incident where he got hit by a plastic bottle, which wasn't the best. But in general, his performance was decent. And the standout moment of the game, in my opinion, was the goal by Garner. Lovely assist from Keenan Davis, who we kind of mocked when they signed him. It's like the striker who doesn't score. But he's made such a difference for Nottingham Forest. Just that presence. I've been saying it for years, actually, with just Grabban as their only real option. He's neither unbelievably quick nor big. I think what was needed was somebody that was either rapid, that's kind of Brennan Johnson's bit, or someone big, and that's Keenan Davis. And the three of them just kind of worked. I know that Grabban's not playing at the moment. Mm. Keenan Davis, for me, he's their Emil Heskey. That's who I think of. When I see him, I just think unselfish, bulldozer centre forward that defenders hate playing against, doesn't score many, but makes the team better. So I think that piece of recruitment for Keenan Davis and obviously Cook at the other end has just tipped the balance, you know, perfectly for Forest. And yeah, they'll have their eyes on Bournemouth now. They're not that far away from them.
I'm sure.
So I think they can dare to sort of dream of a top two. Whether they're good enough to get it or not, I'm not quite sure. But they've got momentum.
Yeah. Brennan Johnson, 4 goals in 5 games as well. Really impressive. From a Blackburn point of view, though, they've just won one of their last 5, got 1 point from a possible 9. The goals have really dried up as well. Ben Brereton Diaz back for Blackburn, but unfortunately not quite, you know, up to speed and didn't help them out last night. Sam, the red card for Lenehan seemed quite harsh in real time and the replay. What did you make of it?
Well, I probably feel it was the softest of the three challenges from last night in terms of Livermore's and Lerma's were probably worse. So yeah, I felt it was a little bit harsh and obviously that was probably the end of Blackburn's challenge last night because of the lack of goals. Yeah, I'll have to have a look at it, Tony Mowbray, because they're not creating much. There was the speculation about Rothwell and Buckley. They've got to obviously knuckle down now. He's got the options of Gallagher and Dolan. Dolan, who was brilliant, I think, when he came into the team last season now, but obviously started this campaign as well. He had some brilliant moments. So they have got some other options there and they need to try and get other goals from other sources, because Brereton Diaz, can he continue in the same vein he has done this season? Historically, you would say no, but it's been such an incredible story this year that who knows? He may just have the season of a lifetime, but they would be the ones I'd be concerned about. Blackburn,
yeah. Five blanks out in seven now, Faye.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's not good. That's not great. So yeah, I'm at the game, the West Brom Blackburn game, so on Monday night. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. I think it's a good opportunity for them to sort of cut loose a little bit and really get at this sort of new look West Bromwich Albion under Steve Bruce, because no matter how much work they do on the training ground, Steve Bruce, you know, working on a new back four, until you're tested in games like they were at Sheffield United, I think there will be one or two cracks there. So I'd like to see Blackburn be really positive in that game.
Yeah, absolutely. QPR 2, Borough 2, Sam. Points shared at the Kyan Prince Foundation Stadium. QPR stay fourth. Friend of the show, Flo Lloyd-Hughes, was reporting on this game. She said she'd happily watch another 30 minutes of that game, probably to see if QPR could take all 3 points, I would say. Ilias Chair's goal was quite something. I mean, in fairness, he was given so much space, but took the touch and finished beautifully in the end. And then, of course, Chris Willock just gifted a goal when Borough tried to play out from the back. I have no idea what Joe Lumley was thinking there.
Yeah, overawed by being back in front of that vociferous crowd back at his old stomping ground. I've seen one of the most staunch QPR fans in the world, Mark Bertram, say today that was a bit of a robbery getting a point out of this one. So I think I'll go with Birch on this. Middlesbrough by far the better side. 18 shots to seven, had more of the ball, hit the woodwork. I think Watmore had a good impact, you know, from the off. So QPR, quite fortunate to get a share of the spoils. But they've been brilliant in the absence of Dieng and Chair. I think they won 5 out of 7 without those two, which it was beyond what I anticipated happening, because I think Chair's that important to Rangers. So they'll take the point and move on. But for Middlesbrough, I mean, just another show of their strength, I would suggest, off the back of that brilliant win at Manchester United. People maybe would have expected the performance level to drop, but yeah, it wasn't that case at all. And that's only the second time they've conceded two under Chris Wilder since he's been in the job. So I think there's going to be a lot of tight games to come for Middlesbrough, because they don't score an abundance of goals, but I think they'll be on the right side of a lot of those results. So very impressed with them, and two clubs who, if I was going to put a few quid on it now, I think those two would probably finish in the playoff positions. They'd be two of my four.
Yeah, Borough just outside, but only on goal difference. So maybe a draw suited both of them, really. Stoke 3, Swansea 0, Adrian. Fun fact about Stoke for you. They only win when they keep a clean sheet. That's exactly what happened on Tuesday night against Swansea as well. Moves them up to 10th. They're 4 points off the playoffs. Two of the three goals scored by January additions. And we're not necessarily used to Stoke doing well in transfer windows particularly. They've been quite low key, but they had a good window, really.
They did, yeah. The kids are all right at Stoke. I think that's the sort of message, really. They're sort of young and vibrant. He's shaking it up a bit, Michael O'Neill, and I like that. Philogene Bidace was great in this game, really skillful player on loan from Aston Villa. He scored a scruffy goal, but was brilliant by all accounts. And I was looking at the ages of the players that were sort of involved in the game. So Philogene Bidace, Taylor Harwood-Bellis on loan from City, DiMaggio Wright-Phillips, all 20. Bursic in goal, 21. Tyrese Campbell, Josh Tymon, Ben Wilmot, 22. Jacob Brown, who's having a really good season, scored a cracking goal in the game. He's only 23. So it's a team that's got loads of hunger, loads of energy. And yeah, when they get it right, they're a tough team to beat. They wipe the floor with Swansea in this game. Lewis Baker, I think, put in another good shift. So yeah, all good, I think, from Stoke in terms of this performance. It's just, will they keep it up? And young players, the downside is that they tend to be a bit more inconsistent. But yeah, they've got the potential.
I think a tale of two clubs who had differing windows. I think Stoke had an excellent window, and I think Swansea didn't do enough business. And I thought on Swansea, this was interesting as well. They scored 29 goals this season, 19 of those goals from Pirro and Jamie Patterson.
On the bench.
Neither of them in the side, and 9 assists as well. Those two have had between them as well. And you look at the side, essentially there's 6 midfielders in that team, with Flynn Downes in the centre of defence. So lacklustre going forward. Of course, Russell Martin will want to get his own players in and get that style into the lads with the pre-season, etc. But at the moment, you know, well short. I think they had one shot last night, and Patterson and Pirro obviously introduced off the bench, but to no avail. They were beaten well in every department.
I'd like to know how he justified leaving those two on the bench, Pirro and Patterson, for the game, because I don't know, strikes me as maybe a manager trying to be too clever. I'm a fan of Russell Martin, don't get me wrong, but he is a philosophy guy. He can maybe overthink the tactical side of it, but when Sam's just laid out the facts there, Faye, in terms of their end product, leaving both out of a game like that just seems madness.
There has to be another reason to it, you would think, that there has to be something, possibly in training or niggles or something else. But Swansea TV summed up the match, sort of.
There is the final whistle. It was more Delilah than delightful as far as the game was concerned. But it's finished tonight. Stoke City 3, Swansea City 0.
Luton 2, Barnsley 1. I was at Kenilworth Road. It was an absolute delight to be there. The game was not a delight, by the way. I'm just going to put that caveat in there because it wasn't the best game in the world for sure. But I took my nephew, his first game at Kenilworth Road with fans there, and he was just buzzing. He was shouting the name of every player, trying to get waves from them. He was kicking and heading every single ball on the pitch. He's 12 and that is it. He is fan for life now, which is fantastic. We're obviously playoff contenders now, 2-1 victors in the end. And to be honest, I was expecting this to be a rollover. I didn't want to be, you know, particularly, you know, arrogant about it, but Barnsley have been shocking this season. Yeah. But they were actually decent. And their second goal, I know Nathan Jones was pretty unhappy about it and said it was us messing around, pretty much was how he described it. But actually, it was a really well taken goal from Barnsley's point of view. And we'd gone ahead with a really scruffy goal that, you know, nobody, we're all, where I was sitting is down the far end near the Kenilworth Road end, and just couldn't see who'd got the final touch. It was so scrappy, but it was given to Alan Campbell anyway. You can kind of see why Barnsley have only taken 4 points away from home, but I feel as if they should be in a better position than they were. They messed it up at the end. The Onya Dimmer penalty was such a blatant penalty. A lot of shithousery going on there as well.
It was a good pen, wasn't it?
He
absolutely lashed it into the top corner.
It was amazing. Overall, I think James Shea was excellent, keeping us in the early moments. We had a bit of pressure. But I think we deserve to win on the balance, if you like, but we had to grind it out. And Nathan Jones has kind of said we're at that point now in our championship career where we can find a way to win, even though we're not necessarily playing at our best. Sam, in terms of Barnsley, Neil Warnock's been linked with him. I mean, I know he's kind of, you know, he's not kind of, he is a Yorkshire man. He's as Yorkshire as they come. But why would he want to go there? I mean, some people are thinking they're unsalvageable. Certainly having seen them on Tuesday night, I don't think that's the case. But could you see Warnock going there?
I don't think so. I remember when he was linked to Ipswich maybe 18 months or so ago, and he was desperate to get to that next landmark. Was it 1,000 games or whatever? He didn't get that job, but subsequently went into Middlesbrough. That's a really good club, isn't it? Well supported. And he would have had aspirations to get them into the playoffs. So that opportunity you can't turn down. But I think Barnsley right now, I think it'd be very difficult to go in there and turn things around. That said, love it or loathe it, they've got, you know, a number of new players that have gone straight into the team really at Barnsley. So we, you know, going to talk about it probably later when we go down the divisions, you know, how players can really impact things if you get your recruitment right in January. So I'm not saying Barnsley are going to get out of it, but they may start picking up one or two results just because they've got some different players in there and there may be a bit of a different feeling amongst the group. But that's another reason why I wouldn't appoint a new manager right now. You know, you've got to stick with the guy that they've given the gig to. Wrongly or rightly, he might not be there in the summer. I think for now you hold fire and see if they can have a bit of an upturn.
Yeah, on that, yeah, 6 of their last 7 defeats have only been by one goal. So they're not shambolic. They're just coming out on the wrong side of some quite close games. I don't think Neil Warnock, this is the job for him. I think in the long term, Barnsley need to look at their policy of only signing really young players as well. I just think you do need a few older heads in a team alongside you. I know they didn't last season when they were flying, but this season when things have gone wrong, they've looked a little bit lost, and there are too many new faces as well in the side at the moment. But yeah, Warnock, he loves an experienced player, so I just think that's a bit of a bad fit.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Elsewhere, Fulham 6 points clear at the top. Mitrovic scoring his 30th goal of the season as well. I think that was his 8th in 6 games as well, which is just incredible. There were wins for Bristol City over Reading. Cardiff beat Posh 4-0, while Preston North End and Huddersfield was goalless. With the top dealt with, though, let's look at the bottom. And we come to what feels like at the moment, with blue carpets galore, the Daily Derby. Derby 3, Hull 1. I kind of have to ask, 4 points off safety, is it on? I mean, I know they'd kind of be mid-table if you know, the 21 points deduction wasn't there, but he's doing such a good job, isn't he?
Well, are they a better team than Reading and Peterborough? Clearly, over the course of the season, they've been many, many points better off. 4 points doesn't seem, you know, unachievable at all, does it? I think even if we were into April and it was 4 points, I would still say it was on. So, yeah, I think they've put themselves in a great position. Another great win against a new manager team in Hull, who should be sort of buoyant. Maybe they're not at the moment, maybe not as buoyant as they should be. But yeah, no, it was excellent again. Tom Lawrence, lovely bit of footwork to score his goal. He's been a real talisman, hasn't he? And the one I wanted to talk about is Festi Ebersele.
And he's picked out Ebersele. It's Ebersele!
I saw him in the match against Forest in the flesh, and I was really surprised that Rooney took him off, because for me, he was their danger man, because he's got that. He's the one player at Derby that's got power, real power and electric pace. So stretch teams, because he's got a small squad of players that they've got limited skill sets. He's someone that offers something a little bit different. And yeah, he had a great game here. Really, really good game. He scored a goal. He was involved in another. And yeah, I think, well, I would certainly include him in the starting 11 moving forward, Ebersele, because of what I just said. He's got a little bit of X factor about him.
I just think there's one or two big reasons at the moment, you know, for the success. I just think the collective, actually, you know, just you look at that back five, with all respect, they shouldn't be winning games with the regularity that they are right now in the Championship, I don't believe. So the harmonious feeling between the group is sensational. I think Bielik's performances, giving them the composure, winning the second balls, I think to get Plange back on the loan for the season, who's given them a focal point, I thought that was a big problem, not having an out-and-out striker. And even on Tuesday night, Lee Buchanan, I think, has only played at centre-half once before this season, and he was probably the pick of their defensive bunch. Most clearances, most aerial duels won. Yeah, and that's only the second time he's played there. So, I don't know. I look at some of the squad players that Reading have got at their disposal, and I think that, you know, Derby shouldn't really be competing with them, but you know, the young players have really come to the fore, and those experienced guys, Curtis Davis and obviously Bielik, are proving to be great examples and leaders for Derby County. And, you know, the second time this season that they've won by 2 clear goals, and they've both come in relatively recent times, I think that shows you they're improving and they're responding to defeats, you know, not getting too downbeat. And that's, again, that's a tough job on the training ground, because when you're looking up and you're thinking, oh, that gap's still there, you can get despondent. But they're doing something right. They must be, in terms of the coaching on the training ground.
Managing disappointment, Faye, I think is the key. For when you're a team near the bottom, it's not getting too down in the dumps when you lose a game or you don't win a game you should have done. Because it's so easy to look at the league table and base your life and your mood around it.
It soon becomes 3 consecutive defeats and you're gone.
Exactly.
You've got,
they've got nothing to lose. That's the thing. Yeah. And, you know, they've garnered this amazing team spirit. You know, I remember when Luton were relegated after our 30-point deduction and, you know, we went and we won the Football League trophy, the Johnson Paints trophy. We just had something about us that was, this is, you know... You know, I was about to swear then. I'm not going
to
swear.
Faye, that took us 2 years to get to that place, though.
Yeah.
So
we'd
fallen because the harmony wasn't there within the squad, and players had left that didn't want to be there, and that was all about putting together a good squad that season. You're completely right, but the two previous squads, you know, weren't in a happy place at all, and I think that's what surprised me so much about Derby, with players leaving and so much talk off the pitch that. Straight away, they've been able to focus on the football, which seems incredible to me.
And Rooney was a player. He was one of them, wasn't he, until recently. And I think that maybe that rapport is clearly very strong. I mean, it's a real feat of coaching from Rooney and his staff that they've got themselves in this position. And not just coaching, obviously man management as well, to keep that belief going. I think Rooney is performing as well as a manager as Marco Silva, who is pretty destined to go back to the Premier League. I think they're on a par in terms of what they're achieving in their roles respectively this season.
With the Championship dealt with, we'll take a look at some of the key results from Leagues 1 and 2 next.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
This is the Totally Football League Show.
Couple of League One results of no one in the top six won, apart from Rotherham, who go 9 points clear at the top of Tier 3. Of those results, two of them stand out. Cheltenham 2, Sunderland 1. That's the third loss in a row for Sunderland. But the massive news today is that The Athletic is reporting that Roy Keane has turned down the Sunderland job. The Athletic say he was offered it on Wednesday, but has decided not to take it. Right or wrong decision, Sam?
I don't know. I think as a short-term fix, it could have maybe worked well. But that said, I'd rather have Grant McCann until the end of the season. If that was a straight choice, you know, someone who's done it recently. But I think we're maybe talking about contract length or, you know, some other intricacies of the deal as to why it's fallen down. So I don't know. I still think, looking back, it was harsh on Lee Johnson. I think some of these away defeats have obviously cost him. I think the size of the club and the amount of supporters that come through the gates when you lose 6-0 at Bolton, sometimes the vitriol or the disappointment can become too much for the owners. And I think that's why Lee Johnson's paid for his job. But it's clear that defensively, they have massive issues at the moment. I think going forward, they've become a more cohesive team throughout the season. But, you know, whoever comes in needs to arrest this slide, because that's the problem right now. But they need to do it. Why they sacked a manager who wasn't doing the worst job in the world and didn't have a contingency plan is just really, really poor. And that's where the venom of the supporters' anger is being directed now towards the ownership.
Absolutely. You can understand that. You have to have that plan in place. You mentioned Grant McCann there. Alex Neil has also been mentioned. Former Nottingham Forest boss Sabri Lamouchi as well, among some others. Adrian, who would you pick out of that list?
Grant McCann. Yeah, I think he fits better with the philosophy that Lee Johnson had, which is the club philosophy, apparently. So yeah, that's why I was slightly surprised that Roy Keane was so in the frame, because he would have played it his own way. It would have been a sort of going against their long-term thinking. I think Grant McCann would fit in. He's up to speed, isn't he? He's not in that division, I know, but he's match fit in terms of management. I think he'd be ready to go. So yeah, he would be my choice. I completely agree with Sam. The ownership there, the people in the positions of power, are inexperienced and they're bungling it. That's what they're doing. They're bungling it. I think it was an emotional decision to get rid of Lee Johnson. They caved in far too quickly to, you know, the panic of getting smashed up, you know, in one of the games recently or a couple of games. Now they're scrambling around. And by which point, they've had the caretakers come in, and I've looked at the starting 11s that Mike Dodds has put out there, and I'm scratching my head. I'm thinking, does this guy, is he really up to it? He's admitted himself that would he change his team selection for the two games if he had another chance? And he said, yeah, I would. I just think he was parachuted in to a job that, well, basically, would they have done worse with Lee Johnson still there for the last two or three games? The answer is absolutely not. They'd have probably done better. And those missed points may well cost them promotion. So, they're having a mare.
Knee-jerk reactions they are having a mare. Cheltenham, though, first league win since the 23rd of November. They had drawn 5 of the last 6 before that win. So well done to them. Sheffield Wednesday 1, Wigan 0. Hillsborough, Barry Bannan penalty, enough for the Owls to keep all 3 points against Wigan. We go from Owls to Cats. Because for those asking, last night's pitch invader was taken to the vets and after examination, treated for a head injury and a bite to the neck. The cat has received pain relief, antibiotics, and she's now eating food, which is great news. Turns out the cat had been missing for 7 months. So all in all, some good cat news finally coming out this week from this story. And from cats to stags as we head to League Two. Mansfield have won 9 successive home games for the first time since 1973. 3 points off the automatic places with a game in hand. There were big wins for Scunthorpe and Oldham as well. Relegation still not decided. More on that later on. And in the top 7, Newport were the only team to lose. The big headline from League Two, though, Walsall have parted company with Matt Taylor after the club failed to win since December the 11th. Neil McDonald and Matt Sadler will be in charge of the Sadlers. Apt. 7 defeats in a row. Fans blaming technical director Jamie Fullerton, not Matt Taylor, for the results. Mike Flynn among the favourites for the job, as is Neil McDonald as well. Now, last week, we had a terrible quiz where Sam and Ian Danter had to name the 3 unbeaten teams in the EFL. So this week, I bring you, after Walsall, name the 4 other winless teams in the EFL. In 2022.
Scunthorpe.
Wrong. No,
they just won.
There were big wins for Scunthorpe and Oldham. I literally just said that.
I wasn't listening, Faye.
That's nice to know.
Oh, I can't.
Go on, Clark, you go next.
There's one really obvious one in the Championship you're both missing.
Well, Pete Barnes,
Peterborough.
Right?
Yeah.
No, neither of those two. Not that obvious then, clearly.
Reading.
Do we know anything about the EFL?
Reading. Reading. 1. That's 1 out of 4.
How many more?
1's 4. Local to where I live. You've forgotten where I live, don't you?
Oh, FC Wimbledon.
Yes, well done. 2
good
more.
Shout. I've stopped playing. I can't think.
Given up.
What about...
Carlisle?
Yeah. No. What about...
1 in the north, west, and 1 in London.
North, west. Rochdale?
Rochdale, yeah.
Another 1 in London?
Yeah.
Leighton Orient.
Yay! Correct. Well done. We got there eventually. I don't know how long that came about, but I would say that the countdown clock blew off the wall.
All right.
bonus points for the 3 winless Premier League teams, which might end up being out of date by this evening, but we'll see.
Watford.
Yes.
Arsenal.
Yes.
Burnley.
Yay! Well, that was much easier. And you're on the EFL pod. What's going on here? You've got the Premier League bang right. Right, on the way, we're looking ahead to 3 key fixtures this weekend.
You're listening to the Totally Football League Show, part of the Athletic Podcast Network.
Okay, let's look at a few fixtures coming up. Kicking off in the fields of Yorkshire, specifically Huddersfield, who host Sheffield United. Let's start with the home side, Sam. They're still in the playoffs. Can you see them continuing to cause surprise in this fixture?
Oh, that's a big question. I've always been concerned about Huddersfield's striking options, and that's not kind of diminished as the season's gone on, despite their lofty position. So I think that there was just a weird anomaly a few weeks ago when they won 4-3 at Reading, and there's not been an abundance of goals since. And after kind of wrote off their transfer business as very average, and they very much surprised me. You know, he's put together a good unit who all seem to know their jobs. They've got a little bit of a sprinkling of gold dust with the wire players, Thomas, Caroma, who I know didn't start in the last game, but they're a good side. They're a good side. But Sheffield United, fantastic away from home, more points on the road from the Blades. And I fancy this to be a very, very tight game, and probably one goal will decide it, because Sheffield United, in all the statistics, should be scoring more goals. Yes, Billy Sharp's really informed, but I see it being really, really narrow victory to one of the sides. But I am seeing a lot of the old Sheffield United in Paul Heckenbottom's team. Basham getting forward, joining in the opposition's half, like the two overlapping centre halves used to do under Wilder. So there's a lot to like about Sheffield United now. So maybe them by the odd goal.
Yeah, it's going to be an intriguing one head-to-head before this season. They hadn't met since 2012. Huddersfield 2-1 winners back in August. On to League One, Dons against Sunderland, South West London. The two not-at-all-informed teams meet at Plough Lane. Yeah, just the 11-hour round trip for Black Cats fans. I'm sure that's not really what they fancy doing at the moment. Maybe they won't even bother. Adrian, how do you see this one going?
Well, it's an opportunity for Sunderland to get back into the winning habit, but also an opportunity for AFC Wimbledon to do the same, because they're vulnerable, aren't they, Sunderland, at the moment? Defensively, their away form isn't good. So if AFC Wimbledon are brave and they play with a bit more fearlessness, early on this season, I think they had they beat Oxford, if memory serves me right. And I think they had a great draw with Bolton, which was 3-3, really exciting. Sheffield Wednesday was 2-2. They have all these young players, Wimbledon. And when they play with that sort of freeness and basic hunger and excitement to be there, they can hurt teams. But what's happened is that they've started to lose games and draw games. And the pressure of having to not get beat, the pressure of needing points, I think has like restricted them. It's suffocated their style a little bit, and they've gone into their shell. So if they go into their shell here, Sunderland will probably have an easier ride than they should. But if AFC Wimbledon go for it, for want of a better phrase, I think they can prey on some weaknesses with the Sunderland team. So that's what I'd like to see. They need home wins, don't they? Plough Lane, everyone's buzzing to be back there, but they've only had two wins there all season, which is the fewest in League One. So I think it's high time they got another. So yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if there was a shock here.
Well, they've never beaten Sunderland before, so I'm sure they're hoping for a shock themselves as well. Colchester United against Carlisle is the final stop to the bottom of the EFL. Carlisle dragged right back into the relegation battle. They're away from home against Colchester United, not safe themselves either. But they are starting to turn things around a little bit, Adrian.
Colchester, yeah. No, definitely. Wayne Brown's improved it. They're the worst teams, I think, than Colchester United. This is a huge game for them. They haven't won at home for ages as well. I think November the 23rd was the last time they won at the Western Homes Community Stadium. I think that's what it's still called. Goal scoring, as it always is with the team struggling, is the issue. It's Freddie Sears or no one, really. That's the problem. He's been great this season. He needs a bit of help. As a team, they've only scored more than one goal, Colchester, six times this season. You've got to be putting at least two goals on the score sheet a lot more frequently than that to get yourself up into mid-table. So that's the challenge for them. All I say is that they're playing a Carlisle team that aren't in good nick at the minute. So it's a chance for them to give themselves some breathing space.
Yeah, they're in really poor nick, Sam, actually. Keith Millen's cancelled days off for his players, saying they need to fight for their lives.
That'll go down worse, Sam.
Do you think another change in manager is needed? I mean, a lot of the fans very angry. There doesn't seem to be any creativity at the club. Some want him to leave. Would that work?
I always see the same name kind of cropping up, David Holdsworth, when I look at Carlisle. And I think, you know, that's where, you know, some of the fingers are being pointed, really, at the recruitment. You know, if you look further down the table, Oldham, I think, have had a bit of a go. They've mm-hmm. recruited players that John Sheridan knows. Slightly different to the way that Keith Hill's gone about it. But I think decent pedigree, the lads that Scunthorpe have brought in. And I think the Carlisle supporters are looking and thinking, we're looking in the bargain buckets a little bit there. So I think, you know, it's not a particularly good squad. Clarkey speaks about the goals at Colchester. 8th of Jan, Carlisle beat Bradford 2-0 with, you know, goals from two new recruits. And since then, they've scored one between them. And I think that Amari Patrick's got one goal since that day. But I think that's where the problem lies, the lack of creativity, the lack of out-and-out goal scorers. They have brought in Christian Dennis, who had a good period for Chesterfield and Notts County, if memory serves me right. So maybe he will get an opportunity, but it's not looking good right now. And with the upturn in form from the aforementioned Oldham and Scunthorpe, I think we're in for a fascinating end to the season. It's going to be a real battle down there.
Yeah, it really is. Producer Abby, tell us all the odds on those matches, please.
Yeah, thanks, Faye. Let's begin in the Championship, where Huddersfield host Sheffield United, and it is the Blades who are the favourites, despite yet again Huddersfield being the higher up team in the table. Sheffield United 6-5, Huddersfield 23-10, and the draw 21-10, which chimes a bit with what Sam was saying with regard to it being quite a tight game. If you fancy Sheffield United to win 1-0, that's 6-1. The 0-0 draw is 7-1, and a home win just with one goal is 15-2. And of course, Billy Sharp on a roll at the moment, anytime goal scorer, 15-8 with him. Whilst we're in the Championship, it's worth talking about top six finish and getting an update on those results. Nottingham Forest, Clarkey's backing them to be looking at Bournemouth and try and hunt them down. They are 21-10 to finish in the top six, which possibly is good value. Sheffield United 4-9, Blackburn 8-15, QPR 8-15 as well. West Brom 4-6, so they're still odds on at the moment. And Borough are even. So no bets on Fulham and Bournemouth at the moment to finish in the top six. As we head into League One, Wimbledon, Sunderland are the favourites, 11-10, draw 12-5, and the home side 9-4 for Wimbledon to win that game. If you fancy another high scoring draw, throw that out there. Clarkey brought about the 3-3 that Don's had with Bolton. If you fancy another load of goals at Plough Lane, that is 45-1. Huge odds there. You never know. It could happen again. And round things off, let's go to League Two. A little bit of a basement battle between Colchester and Carlisle. Quite big offerings all round. Colchester 11-8. The favourites in this one, Carlisle 2-1, and the draw coming in at 21-10.
Thank you very much, Abby. For more information, go to paddypower.com. Odds accurate at the time of recording. It is over 18s only. T's and C's apply. And when the fun stops, stop. Right, to end the show, as we've got both Sam and Adrian on, we're going to play an old favourite of Clarkey versus Parkey. Where we ask a question about their careers. Did you just say yes and fist bump? Love that. It should be easy. They were there, but we'll find out how the memory is. Right, Sam, it's 20 years and a day since you scored against QPR when playing for Northampton to salvage a point. But which current Championship manager was an unused sub in your team?
Championship manager?
Yes. I've been there that long.
Oh, I've gone completely blank. I remember the game. I went out in Leicester after that. It's strange.
Oh, well,
isn't it?
Maybe that's why you don't remember the night. the game. Wales.
You got it, Clarkey?
No.
But there's only two clubs in Wales in the Championship.
Oh, sorry. Steve Morrison.
Steve Morrison, well done.
I would never have got that. I remember him cleaning my boots a few times, but I don't remember him ever being on the bench. So there you go.
Amazing. There you go. Chris Carruthers apparently also made an appearance. No relation of mine. Neither is Samir Carruthers, by the way, who everybody always says, oh, who's that? Is that your brother? He weed off a thing. Shut up.
Would never have got that. Good question. Very good question, Abby. Tremendous.
Well done, producer Abby. Let's see whether Adrian can get this one. Around this time in 1996, you were playing for Arsenal against Coventry. It ended 1-1, but who scored Coventry's goal?
Do I get a clue? I remember the game was 1-1. Yeah, I remember it. It was actually my last game in the Arsenal first team. Little anecdote, I saw Dion Dublin in the players lounge afterwards, and he was like, Clarky, great game, mate. Honestly, brilliant. Really, really impressed with you today, blah, blah, blah. And I did all right. 7 out of 10, probably. Never played again. So there you go. It's just one of those things. Who scored for Coventry?
What was the year?
He used to play for Leeds. It was 1996.
It was if he played for Leeds, it was either Gordon Strachan, who was the player manager, or it was Noel Whelan.
It was Noel Whelan. I just told you. Sorry. I thought. He might kind of go looking at my face. My face was kind of saying it's not Gordon Strachan. So he picked Noel Whelan, which was the other one. But bearing in mind, you both told me anecdotes as opposed to the actual answers straight away. And you both also needed clues. Then I'm going to say it's a draw. A nil-nil draw. Not even giving you a point for that.
Move on.
That is over, as is the show. Matt's back on Monday. Thank you to Sam and to Adrian for their company today. Thank you as ever as well. See you later.
You've been listening to the Totally Football League Show, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. Listen ad-free on the Athletic app and keep up to date with everything Totally by heading to @thetotallyshow on Twitter and on Insta. Find out the latest subscription offers by going to theathletic.com/leagueshow. The Totally Football League Show is an Athletic Media Company production.
The Athletic.